first thing I have to do also is give you a statement telling you what we're doing again.
Okay.
So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of American chestnut. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of American chestnut. Have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Yes.
Okay, great. If you want to start out, just tell us who you are, where you're from, what your background is. Any kind of information like that?
I'm Hugh Irwin. Live in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Grew up in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee, and then lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, where I stayed almost 20 years.
Is there any stories that you had in mind you wanted to go ahead and share?
Yeah. I grew up in Middle Tennessee, where it's in a limestone area, and it hadn't been a primary chestnut area. But my father was a real naturalist and would tell me about chestnut and. Also talk a lot about, you know, how important it was when he was a young man. And he grew up in West Tennessee in Tennessee Ridge, near the land between the lakes area. And would talk about, you know, how the chestnuts used to, you know, cover the mountains. And when... The house that he had grown up in, which was an old log cabin, had burned down. It was right when the chestnut blight was hitting, and so the new house that they built was entirely made out of chestnut. So I had those memories growing up. I think I may have seen a few chestnuts growing up, but. Moved to Knoxville, Tennessee to get my master's degree at University of Tennessee, and started hiking a lot in the Smokies, and really made a huge impression on me seeing not only these huge old logs lying in the forest that after a little while I could pick them out of the forest very easily because they have a real distinctive look. So there were these, huge giants of trees that had been there for, decades and decades that I could still see. But, also the thousands and thousands of chestnut sprouts, coming up everywhere. So, I spent a lot of time in the woods, and it really made a strong impression on me that, I could see, from the evidence left in the forest just how important, this tree was. And also, there was incredible energy still left in these sprouts, trying to make it. So that's always been kind of a core inspiration for me. Thinking about chestnuts, I haven't seen them, in the forest here, but still a lot of evidence, and it's really important to me, to bring back the chestnut, but to make sure that it is American chestnut, that it respects the species that's out there.
You're sort of hitting on that. That's one thing I was wanting to ask too. Is do you have any concerns or like kind of hopes or fears about what's going on in the organization and kind of the next few years, the future?
I just want us to make sure that we do respect the American chestnut and make sure that. It is the tree that we bring back. There's a huge potential for you know, we could bring back a chestnut tree that is an American chestnut tree. And so a large part of my focus, you know, in the Chestnut Foundation is to make sure that we do it right. And, you know, I believe strongly that doing it right is a lot more important than doing it quickly. And, you know, I don't expect us to be successful, you know, in my lifetime, but, you know, hundreds of years from now, I would love for, you know, it gives me satisfaction thinking, you know, hundreds of years from now that, you know, the real American chestnut has come back and, you know, is blight resistant and is able to reclaim, you know, its place in the forest here.
To that end, with the, you know, there's obviously different things going on, different ways of approaching this, hypervirulent strain.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that is there one specific avenue that you think the organization ought to be channeling its efforts then, rather than, you know, different people working in different?
No, I really think support all of the efforts. You know, I think the Bat Cross breeding program has a huge potential. Hypervirulence potential is, you know, I think extremely intriguing because, you know, you see a lot of chestnuts out in the woods that are almost there. They get, you know, some of them are flowering, but, you know, they're almost at a point where, you know, even with the blight, they could make it on their own. They could get big enough to produce nuts and, you know, stay around. And, you know, I'm not convinced that, you know, the American chestnut is on its way out. There are, you know, literally millions of chestnut sprouts out there. Forest Service does a sample survey of forest types with permanent plots, and you know, their estimates, well, for Tennessee alone, they estimate 3.3 million chestnuts remaining in the forest. So, you know, part of where I touch base with in chestnut restoration is that there's a huge potential in the tree that's still out there, and we have some possible solutions, but we shouldn't impose those on. We should bring those along, but not necessarily assume that we have the right solution. The tree itself, you know, the tree itself still may have evolutionary potential that can solve the problem. With our help, you know, I believe the tree definitely has the potential to get around the problem. But, you know, I think we should be cautious. We should bring our solutions to the table and look to the very long term to bring the tree back to make sure, you know, we do it right.
Well, to that end, so when did you get involved in the Chestnut Foundation and why did you decide that it was an important thing to be?
I got involved in the early 90s. I heard about, you know, and, you know, this was, you know, during a period when I work as a conservation planner on largely trying to protect public land areas. And, you know, have always felt that, you know, there was potential for American chestnut to come back, and I heard about this organization, American Chestnut Foundation, that was working on that. So I became a member at that in the early 90s. At that time, there were very few chapters in Tennessee, where I lived at the time, didn't have any chapters. But, you know, I got the journal and the you know, stayed in touch. In the middle 90s, I moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and right around 1999, 2000, there was an effort to start a chapter in the Carolinas. And so I became very involved in that and helped get a chapter organized. I was the first president of the chapter in the Carolinas in the early 90s. I mean, in the early 2000s.
So, let's see. I guess that's kind of all my questions. Do you have any questions, Jim? Or any other stories that stick out in your mind between, like, chestnut stories from your dad or stories about...
The other story that comes to mind, a few years ago, Chestnut Foundation had the annual meeting in Minnesota, and one of the field trips was to visit the West Salem site, where until fairly recently the blight hadn't come in yet, and this was a stand that was outside the original range of American chestnut, so it wasn't when the blight came, it didn't jump to that area, and originally, there were a handful of farmers settled the area and planted, I think it was 9 or 10 trees that over the years, you know, have spread to about 100 acres. And so that really made an impression on me because it was really the first time I'd ever seen a forest that had large chestnut trees, had chestnut trees that were healthy. The blight had hit it by the time I saw it, but you know, there were still very healthy big trees, vigorous. It was during nut season, so even though people were actively kind of gathering nuts every day, and I think the family, you know, kind of sweeps through and gets a major amount of nuts. There were just nuts everywhere, and I, you know, stuffed my pockets, and it was just a really neat experience seeing a glimpse of what, you know, chestnut forest could actually be like.
Just imagine what that would be like, you know, thousands of times over.
Yeah.
You know, an entire forest.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. Anything else?
I think that's all.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.